Welcome to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I am your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. Maybe you've been listening for a while, or this is your first episode. If you like what you hear, would you do us a favor by rating and reviewing us on iTunes? This is a fantastic way to tell us you enjoy what we are creating. Also, if you want more MTSS resources, sign up for our weekly newsletter using the link in our show notes and check out our website for all the blogs and guides you would ever need about MTSS. Tackling literacy gaps is a complex challenge faced by many school districts nationwide, and it's not something that can be resolved just by the hard work of a few educators in their classroom alone. Real change requires coordinated, system-wide efforts led by dedicated leaders and their teams. And today we're shining a spotlight on one such district that's making impactful strides in addressing literacy needs, Goshen County Schools in Torrington, Wyoming. And joining us from there are two exceptional guests, Taryn Hendricks and Dr. Kelsey Walker, MTSS and instructional coaches with extensive expertise in literacy and dyslexia. And we're thrilled to have them on the podcast today to share their insights, experiences, and some strategies for creating sustainable change. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. We're so happy to be here. We could talk about MTSS all day long. So we're chatty Cathy. So we're ready to roll.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here. First, I'm going to have you kind of share a little bit about your district and the kind of the context of your district, and then maybe introduce yourselves just a little bit more to our audience.
Sure. So our school district is in rural Wyoming. We have about 1,600 students. We are a Title I qualified as well. And our school district is really a unique setup. We have several school systems within our school district. So we have our in-town schools with two elementaries, a middle school, and a high school. Then we have another town that's also small, but that's a K-12 school in itself. Then we have an additional kind of smaller town as well that's a K-5 and a 6-12 building. We also have a country school that's K-6. And then we have a school of choice, a high school, 9-12 in town as well. So in total, there's, depending if you count the elementary and high school as one school or two, it's really 10 unique schools in one school district.
Yeah. And to add to that, the square mileage that our county covers is also quite extensive. So the demographics that our school district serves vary very much. We have more rural communities, but then we also have more, it's still small, but more in-town urban type demographics. And so not to mention, just as instructional coaches, when we're driving from one school to the other, we're covering 40 miles quite easily. So there are just some unique logistical components through this work as well.
Especially when you're trying to incorporate MTSS, which is really that structural system that's preventative and preventative for all kids. And so it's like, okay, how can we as instructional coaches support this work district-wide, yet still acknowledging the contextual differences of each of our school sites?
I mean, it's very unique, and I'm so glad that you're here to kind of share that story, because I think that this is a context that, you know, whether you're familiar with it or not, there's lots of things that can be applied in a district that has lots of varied needs, and every school can be very different. So I know that you guys are both MTSS instructional coaches, but you do have a background, some literacy and dyslexia background as well. So Kelsey, why don't you share a little bit about your experience, and then we'll toss it over to Taryn.
Yeah, of course. So actually, Taryn and I started in these instructional coaching roles with a literacy grant funding. So the state of Wyoming actually got a really sizable literacy grant. And then our school district was one of those local educational agencies that got funding from that. That's all to say that we started as literacy coaches 3 years ago. And the work really started with literacy. I was tasked to the secondary realm, Taryn was tasked to the elementary realm, and it's like, okay, improve literacy. And so we really grew our knowledge in literacy first and foremost. So we both became SERI certified. SERI is the Center for Effective Reading Instruction. And so I'm a dyslexia specialist and Taryn's a dyslexia interventionist. That was really a way to grow our own knowledge so that we could help the teachers in our district better understand structured literacy. What we found was that as we kind of dove into this world of literacy at a very deep level, more so than we did as a teacher, we kept hearing about MTSS. And then it was like, okay, if we're not doing MTSS, we're not doing literacy correctly in our district. There's better ways where we can support more students. And so what we found is that MTSS was really integral in order to build sustainable, efficacious literacy ecosystems within our school district.
And to add to that, so as Kelsey said, I came from the elementary world. I identify as a kindergarten teacher by trade, and I was fortunate to slip into this role. Just a little bit more background about me. What happened was we were specialized in literacy and we had an MTSS coordinator in our school district, and he left the school district late last July. And so still not even a year ago, us as coaches were approached of, hey, we really need you to start to take on some of these responsibilities because they didn't fill that position. And so that further drove us of, oh my goodness, we have a lot of learning to do. If we're going to coach MTSS systems, we need to ensure that our knowledge is strong enough that we, you know, have a leg to stand on and can support teachers. And so that was also a huge driver for us. Kelsey and I were just reflecting the amount of learning that we've done in less than a year just around MTSS structures with the support of Branching Minds, and all of the learning is crazy. We've grown a lot in that understanding and knowledge.
So our philosophy was really, okay, let's tackle literacy first. Literacy is the most difficult because of just the construct of our English language. We could get really nerdy here, but essentially English is a morphophonemic language and it's a conglomerate of all of these other languages put into one. And so there's rules of English orthography. I'll stop it there because I feel like people's eyes are glazing over. Anyway, literacy is complex. And so if we can get the literacy systems right and efficacious in our school district, then the rest will follow. And so we've really taken this approach of, okay, what kind of petri dish can we create? Let's start small. Let's start maybe with just one teacher team in one school and really test that out, tinker with it, kind of be mad scientists, so to speak. And then how can then we scale what we're doing to the larger population?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that kind of goes into my next question of just really talking about sort of the implementation of MTSS district-wide. I mean, and you kind of address it, like you approached it from the literacy standpoint, but like what were the process? You've started this petri dish, right? And then how are you working towards scaling it up?
So with this, we really started understanding our current reality. We have both been trained in the Jim Knight coaching, and he really talks about in his scholarship of understanding your present reality. So what we found was that MTSS was happening within our district. However, we call it MTSS light. It was really pockets of MTSS happening in different schools. There was a pretty general framework for the school district, but then each school kind of took on their own nuances in ways that maybe weren't as efficacious as they could be. There was also just the lack of clarity on roles. There was a lot of isolation. There was data illiteracy and inaccessible data as well. Like teachers were collecting all this data, but then there wasn't really a good user-friendly way to look at that data with teaming structures. So when we stepped into the roles of MTSS coaches, we were like, okay, we can do this. However, what structures can we change in order to make MTSS more holistic within the district?
So as I spoke to earlier, our MTSS coordinator left the district late last summer. And so when we were put into this role, we really jumped into the learning and we quickly learned our district had been exploring a central data warehouse. And we actually had contracted with a company with this central data warehouse. And what we found was it wasn't really working for our district. To Kelsey's point, there was a lot of background knowledge that I think our staff didn't have, right? I talk a lot about how a central data warehouse houses the good work that we're doing. You still have to do the good work. And what we found was the good work wasn't happening. And, you know, just understanding MTSS and what does that look like? What does best practice look like? And then where do we house it? And so that fell very flat. We partnered with Branching Minds at the beginning of this year. So we really dove into the learning around that. And what we found was, yep, this is a beautiful platform and we are going to use it. But we have to ensure that teachers know and understand what goes in it, why it goes in it, having common language, just training around MTSS structures, not to mention the data warehouse. And then we really dove into how to support interventionists. We really started with interventionists. In addition to some school-wide training, but we targeted interventionists because, especially if we're housing the good intervention work we're doing, what does that look like? And then we did some work through supporting PLCs and helping, you know, gen ed teachers, K-12. I don't know if there's anything else.
I think one of the biggest structural components that we put in place this year as MTSS coaches that I think could be helpful for other people is that we actually have two different MTSS check-ins. So we coaches were assigned a building and we had weekly MTSS check-ins with that principal. And what we have learned through our work as coaches is that principals are pulled in a million different directions. And so we scheduled 30-minute meetings with the principals to really cover, okay, how is MTSS going? How is the central data warehouse going? Any sort of pertinent like follow-up that we needed to have with principals, that was a dedicated time slot for all of our school districts. For all of our schools to really experience and working on leading up with the principal, because the principal is the instructional leader. And so our check-in was supporting them in supporting MTSS. The second check-in that we did was a district MTSS check-in. And so that was with the superintendent, curriculum director, and our Office of Special Services director, and of course, as coaches. And it was essentially, how is the status of MTSS in all of our different buildings? How are they going? Is there something we need to change to pivot to troubleshoot perhaps, or tinker with? And so leading up was something that really moved the needle for us this year that we are going to continue to do next year.
Well, and I think that that's really key is like having a very structured check-in in place, because like oftentimes MTSS doesn't just happen, right? You have to continue to check in on the process and like move things forward and adjust. It's that continuous improvement model. We talk a lot about that around in Branching Minds, of just really continuing to make sure that you're on the path. Because I think that that's oftentimes with many initiatives, right? Like it's gung-ho in the beginning. Everyone's ready, like, let's get started. There's a lot of energy. And then throughout the year, if you don't check in on it, it's going to peter out, because you have to continue that momentum. And so I think that having that structure is really important. So, I mean, that's part of the challenge. So what are some other challenges that you maybe had in your MTSS implementation?
We had several, as I know every school district has, right? And they're unique to every district, but yet there's some universal challenges that every district's going to face when they're trying to do some system changes. So some of the big ones that we really noticed as we started our work was we were asking teachers to change some practices, maybe start to consider the beliefs that we have as teachers. Do those need shifted? And philosophies. And Kelsey and I have talked a lot about just adult learning theory and really trying to take into account that what we were asking teachers to do and shift at times was really impacting their sense of self-efficacy. And teachers pour their blood, sweat, and tears into their job. And so it is personal. And so really trying to effectively address resistance and knowing and understanding the why behind that, and then how could we support teachers through that. Kelsey mentioned this just even in regards to principals, but just in general, the prioritization of MTSS and the competing interests. We know that school districts, there's so many moving parts. And so also, we've done a lot of learning around implementation science and the levers that we can pull for system change. And so educating ourselves and then again, helping others around us understand that when we're moving some of these levers, they maybe aren't levers that we typically pull. But science tells us that if we pull this lever, it's going to impact some of those other priorities and other competing interests. And along with that, when we're facing resistance, often it's because we as humans aren't understanding the why behind it. So how can we educate and walk alongside administrators and teachers to get that buy-in and helping them understand that, yep, these are the levers we need to pull, because I promise you, if we honor that, there are going to be other positive changes. Kelsey spoke to just helping principals and administrators understand implementation science and just basic knowledge and understanding around MTSS. So yeah, that leading up piece was huge.
Yeah, I was going to say that I feel like the knowledge just around what is MTSS, right? Understanding it. Because many times, like, there's acronyms thrown around a lot in education. And if we don't define it and really explain that MTS isn't just a thing we do, but it's the way that we do things, you know, can be really helpful for teachers who just may not understand. So I agree.
Even common terminology. You know, we've learned sometimes the hard way that one system's definition of tier one and another system's definition, and really not necessarily tier one, where we really started to see disconnect was defining tier two and tier three. And we are still working through that because, again, past practice, past school districts teachers have worked in, past consultants that we've brought in. So it's really also, how can we define for our school district what is tier two, what is tier three, and what does that look like? Just that common, really, truly going back to the basics of just defining those terms, to your point.
Anything else you would add?
I think the other thing I would like to add is that we really drove home database decision making. You know, as teachers, again, because it's so personal to us, we really, and teacher judgment and teacher, just that deep-rooted teacher sense is real. And should be acknowledged, because there are people who, just as a teacher, you just get this sense of like, hey, this is what I think. So we really wanted to walk alongside teachers to help them understand we can't just base decisions off of I think, I feel. That may be a red flag for us, but then what data do you have to support that? And we have to have data to support those internal decisions that we're feeling.
Yeah. That's why I like something, you know, something we have in our platform, the Insight Survey, is asking, you know, asking what teachers are experiencing with the student in class and giving them, having a place for their insights, right? Like, their insights are key in understanding a student, but it's not the only thing that we factor in, and how, like, the database decision-making can really help you make really good, solid plans for a student rather than just based on your feeling. Yeah.
I think a more recent challenge that we've been facing, we surveyed teachers at the end of the year about MTSS. That's one of our initiatives moving forward. And reviewing their survey responses was really interesting because everyone has their own perspective. And so as coaches, we have our perspective. You know, we've done this PD training. Here's what we've communicated. However, how that's received is a different perspective entirely. And so one of the interesting comments that we saw throughout the MTSS feedback was that the MTSS team in our school could be clearer, or when is the MTSS team going to do XYZ? So I say that because teachers are still starting to conceptualize that tier one is the lifeblood of MTSS, and tier one happens in the classroom with teachers. And so I think that there's some hesitancy, some pullback from teachers because now they don't want to move forward and do something wrong. But then it's also preventing them from fully encompassing and, I guess, believing in tier one is MTSS, and that's within your control as a teacher.
Yeah. Well, and that they're active participants in it, and it's not just something the interventionists do, right? I think that is can be a big misunderstanding of just that the role that the general ed teacher plays in MTSS, because sometimes either the general ed teacher thinks it's their job to do all of MTSS within their classroom, or they think, oh, well, that's the interventionist, that's the MTSS team's problem, I'm just here to teach content. And so, but understanding that that's a big part of it. And there's so much of MTSS challenges that can be addressed by having a very solid tier one.
Right. Yeah. So we're really excited to support at the PLC level with those teacher teams directly and really working alongside teachers to enhance their tier one instruction.
Well, and I know as a former instructional coach, like so much of what the work is really to be the day in, day out of supporting teachers in their own practice and their work. And so, you know, and that takes a lot because as teachers are, especially the ones that are super open to growing and that are, you know, ready for that coaching. So I know that this work sort of initially started with literacy. And so maybe how has sort of taking that stance of addressing literacy as a focus or sort of as your way in, I guess, how has that maybe changed the way that teachers are approaching their daily instruction? Like, have you seen that focus on literacy be a priority to more teachers, or is it just more in general, just the MTSS work?
We definitely have seen a crossover. We have, of course, been focusing primarily on literacy the past 3 years to essentially tinker in that Petri dish. And what came out of that working with administrators is that we need a roadmap, so to speak, to make data-based decisions. Not just looking at data and admiring it, but actually acting on the data. And so what we did through our work just looking at literacy data is we created a GCSD data systems funnel. And this is really a simplified infographic of how screening data runs through our district and our teaming structures within the schools. And so we developed the data systems funnel. We started enacting that with literacy, and now we are encompassing SEL and those non-academic risks and also math and literacy. So that's kind of the trifecta that we've been working toward. But essentially the GCSD data systems funnel, it's simply that. It's a funnel with 4 different layers. The first layer is the data that goes in 3 times a year, fall, winter, and spring. And the district benchmark team looks at that data. That's really the superintendent, curriculum director, Office of Special Services Director, the coaches, and the principal of whichever school we're looking at. And then we go through a 4-step database decision-making process to start to understand what is the data telling us? What's the landscape of this data? And of course, to also help the principal understand, okay, this is where my school is at. How can I lead from the front and understand the landscape of my school's data better? Then the data funnels down to the school benchmark meeting. And so then the principal is really taking forward this work from this point on. And so the school benchmark meeting also follows that 4-step database decision-making process. but it's with the principal and those key teacher leaders. Some of our schools have opted to do this as an entire building. And so it's really now, okay, at the teacher level, what are we understanding this data to be? Then it funnels down to that third layer of the school PLCs. And so the school PLCs is where we're going to be spending a lot of our time next year supporting. How can teacher teams really look at that screening data and make good decisions for all students? And then the final layer are for the students that those tier two interventions are just not working as they should be. And so we have our school student success teams that really, that's the tier three. It's okay, we've tried this intervention for this long, we changed it to this long, now let's bring it to SST to ensure that every student grows.
So, I mean, all of this kind of leads to that. Like, I mean, there's a lot of training. You've talked a lot about this, so the conversations, the training that you need to have with your teachers. So what did that look like for you guys as far as professional development goes for your teams, you know, across the district? How did you go about doing that?
I'm going to quote my friend, Dr. Kelsey Walker here. We love a good phased training. And what we found through our learning and just through our own experience and whether we're facilitating, and I'm going to speak just even as an attendee of trainings, I don't want to make teachers or other stakeholders feel like they're drinking through a fire hose. And so we know, even just through the science of learning, we can't throw everything at them at once and expect them to hold on to it. So truly trying to embrace the recursive learning and what we know around that and the interleaving of knowledge. And so we really structured a phased training. What started out as, again, as I spoke to earlier, we partnered with Branching Minds through our department, our State Department of Ed. And we started by implementing a phased training just in learning around Branching Minds. But what we very, very quickly found was, oh goodness, we also need some phased training just around MTSS. And so we really did both, because what we were hearing, as we talked about earlier, is I think tier two is this. We even heard some tier 1.5 thrown in there. And I don't teach tier three, so that's not my job. And so we did phased training. What we did was 2 to 3 minute asynchronous videos around MTSS in our district. And we did that because principals wanted the autonomy to know, hey, I have this pocket of time, I want them to do some learning on MTSS. So we coaches created these videos that principals could share on their own time in the different context in which they felt like their staff would best respond. And that seemed to help build just some common understanding around the basics of MTSS.
And that was also around our MTSS funnel. So the MTSS funnel was actually co-created with different student success teams from different schools. It really kind of started with one school and then some other schools took a look at it. And so the product of the MTSS funnel was actually throughout weeks of these teaming structures, taking a look at it, tweaking, changing it, making it align with not only MTSS research, but also how it fits within our district. And so that phased training was around our MTSS funnel. What is tier one? What is tier two? What is tier three? What happens at each of those? And so I think that's the beauty of really shared leadership and leveraging the strength of all the different teams that we have.
Well, and I know that you mentioned earlier, you talked a lot about sort of taking in mind adult learning theory and making sure that like what you're offering is really applicable to what they're doing and they're working on. And I think that's really key. Oftentimes, if you don't want people to be drinking out of a fire hose, you really have to give them the thing that they need that they can implement, that they, you know, that applies to what they're doing right there. So I think that that's a important note. I just wanted to bring that back because I thought that like when it comes to professional development, I think we often, as educators, if you haven't really considered adult learning theory, you go back to the ways that you taught students, and that doesn't necessarily apply to adults. And I think we make that mistake so often, which then leaves adults feeling disgruntled or frustrated or annoyed or just like, this is, why do I want to come to PD if this is what I'm going to get?
Yeah. Adult learning theory is really about adults are autonomous. And so we have to honor their need for autonomy. But within that, we also have to acknowledge their past experiences. That's something that children don't have that adults do. Past experiences completely impact how adults conceptualize new learning. And so it's really a delicate balance of acknowledging past experience and also confronting some of those negative emotions that's convicting, right? Like as a classroom teacher, I think about my years I taught and I'm like, ooh, didn't do that very well. Like that was an MTSS and that's an icky feeling to have, but it's okay because when we know better, we do better. And so how can we move forward and really kind of build on what I used to do and enhance it.
Yeah.
And speaking of past experiences, something just as a facilitator, because we've really tried to honor like only giving them so much. Kelsey and I did some intervention training with secondary interventionists this year, and we were training around some universal screening and some other assessment components. But what we found was we were trying to honor that of, hey, here's this learning. Now go back and experience it. Come back and we'll give you more. But a lot of times as teachers, we're used to being forced to drink out of a fire hose. And so that was an odd feeling for them too of like, yeah, I just want all the information at once. Again, just past practice was I need to go to a, you know, 5-day training and get all the information on this platform that I can. And through our learning, we've learned that that's not best practice as far as really teachers being able to own it, internalize it, and use it. And so it was a weird muscle for teachers. And what we found was there was resistance to that approach because it was just, it felt so abnormal to them. And so that there was resistance there. It was, nope, I just need to go to a training and I just need to be done. And for us, it was, let's integrate it into your classroom slowly. Let's reflect on it. Let's give feedback. Let's practice together. And that was just a muscle that they weren't accustomed to.
And that's the beauty of instructional coaching. It's ongoing embedded professional development that we can respond to the contextual components and really the teachers that are in front of us.
Okay, so I would love to talk a little bit about what are some shifts that you're seeing. So as you've done this work for a year, I mean, I know that maybe we're not going to see some of the bigger outcomes until further down the road because we know MTSS implementation doesn't happen overnight. But what are some wins that you're seeing after a year of doing this work? And maybe even if there's any changes in the literacy outcomes that you've seen.
We have seen some really positive shifts. One is just an overall data use and its impacts on instruction. I have observed many PLCs having more conversations around, well, this is what the data is saying. And so through their learning or, hey, can you help us learn more around XYZ? Because this data is showing us that they're not, students aren't succeeding and they're not progressing. And so it's really become this circular kind of learning cycle of, hey, the data is showing this. We don't know how to impact that. So let's do some learning around that. We now have a centralized data hub and Branching Minds, and that's been extremely powerful. It is designed in a way to support best practices in MTSS. So that naturally has helped shift. What are we doing for interventions? We can say district-wide that we are officially universally screening students. We couldn't say that before. We can say that now. There's been a ton of learning around even just what is a universal screener versus a diagnostic versus an outcome assessment? And where does progress monitoring fit in there? And how do those assessment pieces support our daily instruction? But also, how does it help us better understand the health of our overall system? I think naturally in the past, teachers would automatically go down to the individual students and that data, and we weren't looking at it at a macro level, and what is that telling us? And I think that has really driven those conversations. Our individual student success teams are not as overloaded as they once were because we are problem solving more subgroups of students. and at that tier one level. And so that individual student success team is not as overloaded. The other big shift is historically students were being referred to that student success team by teachers. And now it's the data that's really driving those referrals. And we're watching the data to drive that. And it's not left up to teachers to decide this student needs additional support. We created a district-wide retention protocol. So retention is obviously we don't retain a lot, but there were pockets of retention philosophies that really conflicted with one another. So as a district, where do we stand here? And what does that system look like? And lastly, we've got goal setting, data-based goal setting happening at the district level, school level, PLC level, and obviously at the student level, especially in regards to interventions and enrichment for kiddos. So we've had some big shifts. And I think as a district, we've learned too, we do need to take time to make a list of what positive things have shifted because of these changes, because that day-to-day heaviness, sometimes you lose sight of that.
Yeah. How do you feel like that has shifted things for, I mean, you said you just kind of gave a survey to your teachers. Do you feel like it has improved sort of, I wouldn't say morale, but perspective around MTSS? Do you feel like that there's a different perspective that teachers have now?
I would say just taking a qualitative researcher take on it, I can't help but nerding out here. What is different is the discourse and the verbiage that's being used. A year ago, I didn't hear a lot of teachers even talking about MTSS. And so now what I hear is administrators and principals talking about MTSS, and that's trickling down to teachers. And now teachers are talking about universal screening. They're talking about progress monitoring. They're talking about survey level assessments. They're talking about intervention data. They're talking about attendance of interventions, and they're talking about best practices. And so we have that kind of first step of it's not opaque anymore. That language is now transparent, and people are at least now talking about these components.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes it's like, if they're not talking about it, it's not happening. So I think that's a good indicator that action is taking place. And it really does start, I do think the school leaders make such a big difference in how that's perceived for teachers in the prioritization of that. So, we established this at the beginning that we're chatty Cathy's about this topic. So I totally understand. But I would love to talk a little bit about if you were to sort of give advice to districts that are starting this work or that are restarting this work, the MTSS journey, what advice or what sort of wisdom would you pass on to them as someone who's just a few steps ahead?
Up, invest in administrators. Flood support to them. Really, the administrators set the tone. They're the instructional leaders. They're really the linchpins to any sort of MTSS system. MTSS is an entire system. So the principal has to prioritize and be aware and knowledgeable of MTSS. We're very fortunate. Our curriculum director has actually made an initiative infographic, and MTSS is one of the three main initiatives that our school district will be working on for the foreseeable future. And that really just, that sets the tone, right? Because if it's important to the superintendent, to the curriculum director, from the district administrators, and then it's important to the principals, then it will be important to the teachers, and it will help students. Also, another piece of advice we have is go slow to go fast. We've talked about the Petri dish, really kind of leveraging a small chunk and then seeing how you can scale that to size. We also use the science of learning often. So if you're a teacher or working in a school district and you haven't done learning around the science of learning, we really recommend that. We love the recursive learning approaches within the science of learning. And just like students, not all teachers learn at the same pace. And so being knowledgeable of how people learn has been really integral to our work. And finally, just staying responsive. Planning next steps based off of feedback from the last step. And just taking that cyclical iterative approach to building capacity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's so much more that I could ask you. And I know you shared a bunch of resources that I'm going to share in the show notes as well. And so I just appreciate you both being here to chat about this work, because I think many people who listen could probably relate to so much of what you're saying. And so if anything, I know that this podcast makes people feel not so alone in the MTSS work, because sometimes, and I know as an former instructional coach, sometimes it can feel like you're on an island. There's only a few of you versus, you know, a lot of the teachers. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcasts on iTunes? This helps others find our podcasts and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.